Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back, best audience ever. I know you hear me say that, but you are. So you know what, go buy yourself a little blue ribbon or like a little princess crown, take a picture of it, send it in, love to see it. That'll definitely get you on the show. if you take a little picture of a crown, you know, you guys are just fantastic. I want to thank you so much for being really honestly very loyal and the best audience ever. And welcome to the Mission Accepted podcast show. As always, spectacular, incredible, fun, invigorating guests come on and share a little bit of their story and what they do. Entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, creatives, and media, all people that are self-funding, kind of making their way. And I talk about the power of when they decided to take on the mission. Because really, if you decide to step out of the box, whatever that box is, that you put yourself in there, or you felt obligated to be in there, or someone else put you in there, and you just decide to branch out for whatever reason, even if you're doing a crazy, ridiculous, philanthropic walk across Ireland, or you have a project going on that really inspires you, you at some point had to say yes. You probably said a yes in your brain first, and then for some reason it came out of your mouth and started to materialize. And there's a real process. There's a deep process that goes around that. And then it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. And then here's the truth. It's another thing to keep doing it. Because when you take on that mission, then it continues to grow and change. And sometimes it's funky and sometimes it's fabulous. So anyways, I have an incredible woman who's on. Not only do I get to say she's an incredible business person, but she's also a very good friend. And it's incredible when you watch people go from different stages of their life and different stages of their business. And I've definitely been able to have Janice do that. Now, you've heard from a lot of people that are very like, you know, I'm a singer, I'm an actor, I'm in health and wellness, I'm an author, and you have these very defined titles. When people say to me, oh, so Janice, yeah, I'm like, she's super cool. You gotta talk to her. So what does she do for work? And I said, she does relationships. She does relationships. They're like, oh, is she a counselor? Is she a therapist? And I'm like, well, kind of for your business. So I'm going to let Janice talk a little bit. This is Janice Porter, and I'm going to welcome her to the show, but I'm going to let her talk a little bit about how she chose relationships. Now, when you guys ask me what the word entrepreneur is, and I tell you it's someone that does many different things, and most of the time there's a theme to it. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about with Janice. She's a author. She has a podcast show. She is an expert in building relationships through a business model. She knows deep down how to retain business, and she does it through relationships. That's just 4 of the different ways. So that's what an entrepreneur is. There's a main core, and then how does she play in that main core? Kind of like Oprah. So, you know, Janice and Oprah, they drink the same cup of tea. You know what I mean? Oprah has books and she has this, but her main core is about people and helping people and serving people. So Janice, AKA Oprah, welcome to Mission Accepted today.
Well, that's pretty hefty person to follow, I will say, but thank you for the introduction. And it's my pleasure to be here, Deb. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So Janice, I always like to start off a little bit on what pushed you out the wings into the world of entrepreneurship. What's your lead in into this crazy world?
I think I was pushed out in one respect because I started my first life as a teacher, and that was kind of the role I was followed, you know, you're a natural teacher, you should go into teaching. It was like, there weren't any really that many options when I was in school. Anyway, I became a teacher. And then that was too confining for me. I loved teaching the kids, but I didn't like the bureaucracy. I didn't like the politics that went with it. And then I moved into corporate training, which is kind of a bigger playground of the same thing, you know, because in a sense, the adults that I was now teaching really mirrored the kids that had been in my classroom, right? It's quite funny, really, but it's true. Anyway, and but that became I was a contractor and I did that gig for like 18 years. That was a long contracting gig. But towards the end, I could see the end coming because the economy had changed and people were getting squeezed out. And I started to look around and want to do something else, but I totally knew I did not want to be in that 9-to-5 gig again. I did not want to be in that box. And so I started to look into, you know, what could I do for myself? And you made me think of something actually that I don't talk about at all, but that happened early on in my entrepreneurial quest. And that was event planning and event production, I guess, because I got involved with, I don't talk about this very much, but two things happened. One, I got involved with the Provincial Basketball Association. I was put on the board of directors. That's another story. But anyway, I produced their annual Hall of Fame event. And that was really fun. I did that for several years. And at the same time, I was looking for part-time work and I got introduced to the Kidney Foundation and this annual event that they did to raise money. And they did it in each municipality. And I got paid a little bit to do it, but it was an event called, you may have heard of it. It was like a jail and bail event where you put people in jail and they had to get donations to bail out. So I took that event 2 days in North Vancouver and did something they'd never done before. I had local celebrities in jail and I had them as judges and I had people pulling them out of jail. And we raised about $30,000 in 2 days. And they thought I was like, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. So it was really fun, but I knew that I could do that, right? So that was like, that was a real challenge to be on my own doing things like that. So that sort of was my beginning of entrepreneurship. But then I got into network marketing. And a little bit later on, I realized that LinkedIn was a platform in this new age that I could use to be a teacher again. So that became part of my repertoire as well. And then of course, podcasting came later. And so it's all juggling all those balls, right?
Well, I think that's really interesting when you talk about, and let's go back a little bit when you come out of this 18-year contract, a long contract, and then you have that epiphany. Right. Yeah. Then you have that realization. You're like, I don't want to go back to what I did before. And there became this plethora and this opening. That can be a really scary place for people and or an exhilarating place for people, because now you're definitely at a different place in your life. You're 18 years, you know, past when you got that contract. And then you decide that you want to kind of go forward. And what does that look like? I mean, if we were to do that today, there is so many different avenues that people are taking. And so here, with everything that you talk about, though, I hear that, like, of course you would raise $30,000 and gosh knows that's good money now. I don't know how long ago that was, but you have that putting it together. So have a celebrity person and putting it together. And it's still very much community. It's still very much relationship wise. And then, I mean, you are one of the number one LinkedIn experts. And not only have I worked with you and learned so much from you, but that is your title. And the interesting thing is you get into network marketing, which is definitely not putting you into a box. You see that there's an opportunity. And then a lot of people in network marketing use LinkedIn as a business tool. You tap into the power of LinkedIn. And not only do you see it as a business tool to support this business that you've got in so you don't go back to the 9-to-5, you really see it very much, you see it differently. A lot of people come into LinkedIn, they're like, this is a great way to meet people. I'm going to prospect, I'm going to talk to people. And you see this as a business tool that you can take. I mean, do we want to say to the next level? Are we sick of that saying yet? for people, but you understand the intricacies of it and how to really make it work. That's pretty special. That's pretty special. So tell us, Miss LinkedIn expert, a little bit, because I was talking to a woman who has a magazine called Women Rock. We talked about really a book that's going to be coming up for apparently me as of yesterday, says my publisher, in 2023 about women in social media. Now I say women because she's dealing with women, but it happens to be like this whole social media kind of new way of being. I mean, LinkedIn's been around longer probably than any of us think it has been, and how to make these platforms work for us in a way. It's really quite detailed. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think it's different for everybody, but you know, you said something that I'll bring into that part of the conversation, because, you know, doing those events that I did and getting into LinkedIn and also network marketing with a tool that is part of my relationship building and relationship retention piece is that for me, it's connecting people and being, you know, talking to people. And like, I just listened to a past podcast that I had done with this guy quite a while ago. I think it was in the beginning of the Cyclops age, like 2020. And he said he was talking about LinkedIn and he had like 20,000 connections because he's an interesting, different kind of person, but realized that with all these connections on LinkedIn, he didn't know any of them. It was just, you know, grabbing names. And for a lot of people, third-party tools doing that for them. That's not me. I'm about relationships. I'm all about that at the core. And so for me, I teach people how to use it as a relationship marketing tool. And so you need to be shown as the best possible you on LinkedIn for what you do and who you serve and how you support people. And then through self-selection, people will choose or not choose you based on what they read. If they're smart and read your profile instead of just hitting that connect button to add the numbers. And so if you use that as a model, then the people you then connect with, you want to talk to, you want to have a conversation, you want to see if you can collaborate. It becomes a networking venue, so to speak. Obviously, it takes the beginnings of the relationship online, then take it offline and build a relationship. I've done that so many times.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that we're all kind of, you know, people are getting their head around that now, right? Because there was such a draw to 5,000 friends on Facebook and, you know, Instagram having, you know, people having, you know, gosh, hundreds of thousands and becoming these micro influencers to influencers. And that somehow mysteriously by having all these people, they were going to call you. Right. I mean, honestly, that's because we've been raised in a culture that more is better. Right. Yeah. And we know we say quality over quantity, but when you go and see someone's profile and they have 3,000 people and you go and see someone that has 20,000, I don't care who you are, you make a natural assumption that that person with 20,000 probably is more successful and has more money. But truly, that's it can be the person with 3,000 that has 3,000 strong people that are drawn to them based on, and I know I went through that process with you with how, you know, I had a large number of followers and I personally did screen and select, like, you know, people wanted to be, I'm like, look, we're not even in the same wheelhouse. So why, you know, that's not, but so I was accepting people, but then digging it deeper and kind of rechanging what it was that was in my about section that really drove down to, is this your problem? If so, I may offer a solution. And so knowing it just takes it that one step closer, which honestly, if you think of this as a networking pool, so take yourself out of that number mentality a little bit. When you go to a networking group, I was at one yesterday, there was over 100 women. But if you're in a group of 1,000 women or 1,000 professionals that are in your, I'm just saying women because I know that I was at a women's event yesterday, but whether it's a women's group, a mutual group, a men's group, or whatever, it doesn't matter, industry group, Are you going to go and make relationships with all those thousand people anyway? No. Would you like to have a t-shirt on that says, if you need this, come talk to me? Yes. If we all had that shirt on saying, this is my main solution. Oh my God, we just made a business, Janice. This is the solution that I offer. You could scan what people are wearing in terms of t-shirts and you could go and bypass hours, hundreds of dollars in marketing. And you could just go right to that person.
You know, I never go to a networking event trying to sell anything. And that's what most people do. I just want to meet people and see who I like, because it goes from there. And I know that sounds really naive, but being that connector and being curious, I want to know what you do, because then I can see if I can connect you with somebody and or collaborate with you in some way or whatever. And that's how you build relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. That's why that kind of cool t-shirt idea would be kind of cool, because you could literally walk around. It's kind of like walking around a big dog show and, you know, you have a German Shepherd and you want to go talk to other people that have German Shepherds. Like, it would just bypass that time, which takes us out of that numbers mentality to quality, relational, we've got something that we can talk about mentality. So here you are, you're a LinkedIn expert. It's about building relationships. You're very good at it. We've been in a relationship for a long time. So I know what it's like. And then comes the masterpiece. Really, it is the masterpiece to having a successful business. And you certainly have mastered that. You have focused on retention. So a lot of people are hunters, right? Mm-hmm. We hunt and we look for that. And I don't say that in a derogatory manner. It's like, you're looking for business. You're in business. Go get some. There's a cable bill due. Go do your thing. You know, sometimes people think, oh, relationships, like, no, there's some pretty good, you know, multi-million, $100 million contracts that get signed in relationships. So you've got that relationship and now you've gone over to what give us your opinion or your experience on the retention piece.
Well, follow-up is key, right? And I think the biggest mistake that people make is if it's somebody you've done business with, they may say thank you, but they don't do it in a really personable, authentic way. They send a quick text or they send an email that never gets opened. But if you spend a little extra time and either write a personal note or send a card from a system like I use, which can be customized and personalized as well, then people can see that you spent that extra time to say thank you. I get notes every day from people or emails from people saying, thank you for that note. It was very thoughtful of you. I loved the card you sent, or, you know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, you can't imagine that card came on the very day I needed to get it, whatever. But the follow-up that people forget is that if they're prospecting, if they've had a conversation with somebody or they've done a pre-sales call or whatever, they don't do anything. They think they're waiting till they get the sale. The minute you talk to somebody, you follow up by saying, you know, it was really nice to meet you. I'm so excited about the possibilities. And that's it. And then when, of course, you know, you get the sale, then you do it again. But the thing that I noticed, so I went to a networking event last week online. It was an invitation I got from someone I had been referred to who came on my podcast. He's a networker out of New York, and he has a networking group, and he invited me and I went. And I also spent some time looking at his LinkedIn profile and took a couple of pictures off there and put them on a card and sent them to him, thanking him for inviting me and whatever. I also sent him a card thanking him for being on my podcast. But I got a note from him today saying, you know, thank you for the thoughtfulness and the card that you sent. Now, I sent him another one after that, which he hasn't got yet, because he does CrossFit and he does boxing. And I saw this thing that I thought he'd really like, and I sent it to him. But what my point is here is from that note that he just sent me, it was an email, I can now continue the conversation. I can build on that relationship, you know, however I do it. But that's the point. Keep following up, because we say that we do business with people we know, like, and trust, but if they don't remember us, forget it, right? Yeah. They'll go somewhere else. Quick story about that. I have a friend who lives in Wisconsin, very successful, built or moved three times over 15 years to better themselves in beautiful homes that they did. They used a different realtor every single time. Why? Because they never stayed in touch. So what a waste. Realtors are interesting because of that. You know, you have past clients from selling them homes and whatever, and you don't stay connected. You don't nurture those relationships. Referrals come from those people if you nurture them. So that's, to me, the biggest thing about the nurturing, the follow-up. It costs more money to get a new client than it does to stay connected and nurture the existing clients or the past clients. So that's a big lesson, you know, in terms of that.
Right. So you go into this world of relationships and you start building these different platforms. And I think it's great for people to hear out there the progression, right? So sometimes when people meet, I had a conversation with someone, they're like, oh, you do so many things. And I'm like, no, there's a progression. And I think that it's great to be doing what you're doing and loving what you're doing. And then as you see something that can feed into that, if you want to add things in, at the level that you want to add them in. So you have, you know, you have a full, you're kind of like this full service around relationships, right? And I know that relationships are really important to you. You spend time with your granddaughter. You're really big on family. You've got, you know, that's a big part for you. So tell me what has been, so you kind of come out of this contract, and it could be someone that you met. It could be a card that you got back from somebody. It could be a show that you were on that shocked you. It could be an award that you got. It could have been an epiphany to yourself. Being an, you know, the entrepreneur now growing into entrepreneur, what is one of the things that surprised you the most about this lifestyle choice that you've made?
I think initially the biggest thing that I realized was that the journey is definitely one of personal development, because I had to learn along the way everything that I was doing. I didn't have a background in business. I had a background in teaching. So when it came to how to run my business, I made lots of mistakes, and there's lots of holes in, you know, what I'm good at and what I'm not. And so it's always about personal development, so that in essence, you build the confidence and the self-worth in yourself as you take on all of these new things. And as you become, because, you know, whatever business you're in, you're selling, like you said that earlier. And, you know, being in sales is tough until you ground yourself with the idea that what you have to offer, you believe in, and it doesn't matter the outcome of the situation, because there'll be other people. But when you take things personally, that was really hard at first. But when you learn that, it's so much better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I hear you. I think that the journey, when you talk about personal development and the things that you have to overcome that you don't see coming, because like you said, even I think people that take MBAs, you might know that an economy might collapse, or your competition may come up with I remember when I saw the first time I saw an ad for McDonald's McDonald's doing like a cappuccino or something. I mean, it was like this crazy coffee thing. And I was like, ooh, Starbucks going to be in trouble. Did they see that one coming? You know, and it's like, so sometimes you don't see those competitive things coming around the corner. Sometimes you don't see that you're a pizza shop and there's a pizza shop that opens up three doors down. Like, there's all those things that you have to navigate. But when it comes, it really does come back to how you're feeling about you, the level that you're putting in with you. So what are some of the things that you do to keep yourself still in the game? I mean, you've been in this business for a while. You know, we get some great surprises. We get some kind of funky things. Like you said, there's been some holes. Some of the things that I've really learned to do is I'm a journaler. So I like to write. I seem to be able to find some solutions. I go to experts when I need advice in certain areas. You know, meditate, some, you know, cry sometimes, you know, read a book. I mean, there's all those kind of things you do that, or realize that sometimes your business is showing you something about yourself, and that if you change that about yourself, your business will change. So what are some of your go-tos, Janice, that you find has helped you stay in the game?
I think for me, because I'm so curious, I'm always looking to ask questions of those who have walked the same path, or someone I admire that seems to be successful, you know, because with, like you said, with this online world, you know, there's a lot of illusion out there. And, and then just being grounded in who I am and what I believe and sticking to my guns, because, you know, you mentioned, like, I don't believe that I have to be on every friggin' social media platform. One, I have to decide where my audience is, and that's where I should be. Oh, there's no shoulds, but that's where I it makes sense for me to be. And if I want to dabble somewhere else, fine, but it's time taken away from what I need to focus on. So I try, you know, I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn, but I don't really go anywhere else. I have an Instagram account, but to me, that's the one where it's lifestyle that isn't necessarily real, but my audience may be there, but I have enough audience on LinkedIn and Facebook. So I'm okay with that. I can't navigate anymore. I read books. I watch, listen to podcasts. I watch videos. But that can be dangerous as an entrepreneur too, by the way, because it takes me down another rabbit hole that I, because I'm curious, want to know about, but I need to be pulled back sometimes to stay in your lane, you know, because I love learning. So,
yeah, no, that's all really great advice. And I think that we're finding that more and more and more. Every time I hear the word social media now, so what happened is I'm approving things for this book. I have a book coming out and I'm going to roll and talk into that, and you're in it. So let's talk a little bit about that. If people are listening to this after the book's launched, well, we're going to tell you where to go, what to do. because it's timeless and evergreen, which is something that I think both of us have probably learned throughout our businesses, is keeping things timeless and evergreen, those principles. And that's what happens after you're seasoned, that there are certain principles that stay true too. So, Angel sent me the back cover of the book and other publications people can go, she mentioned this book that I briefly told her that I was thinking of doing, and it's in the book. I guess in 2023, I'm doing a book for women over 50 and their relationship to social media and how we've pivoted. I guess so. Something like that. So you're going to have to give some really good, we don't look over 50 people if you're listening. We just want to let you know that we are wise women. So, and how we've had to navigate this. I mean, hats off to you for making that decision about where your people are. And if your bucket is full, you know, not that you're turning down people to come and listen to you, because you're going to have people call you, but if it's working, if your systems are working, then, you know, do you need to go on Snapchat? Like, do you, you know? So yeah. So no is the answer for Janice.
No.
Let's talk about authorship. Let's talk about a little bit about when you get to that place that you are invited and it's an honor to be represented in print. And I loved the numbers that Angel was sharing, which, if you guys don't know who Angel is, that's okay. She's an amazing person that works in the world of books. 87% of people have said they'd like to write a book. Only 1% of people actually participate in putting their words to paper and having that printed in a book. So I know that you got kind of, you know, you just finished writing a chapter. You're in a book that's going to be an international bestseller. Truth, when that happened for me the first time, I was pretty nervous. I think I was the last person to get my chapter in. What's your process, or how could you, because I think that's a big statement for people to make, yet a necessary statement, like even being on a podcast, even putting yourself out there. So what was that like for you?
I just have to laugh, because I never wanted to write a book. I didn't care about writing a book like everybody else was in a book or writing a book and whatever. That wasn't my thing. That's why I started my podcast, because I like to talk to people. But somebody named Deb Drummond came along and said, you're going to be in this book whether you like it or not. No, not quite like that, but very persuasive. And it just happened. And in 3 days, I'd written my chapter. So what can I say? I mean, I'm now going to be in this book and a published author. So I know that it was interesting, even though the process for me was short, and it had to be, because if I made it any longer, then it was going to be hard work, like harder work. And I'm a person that my heart is on my sleeve. I say what I think, and it's black and white. So for me, it was, putting it in print was interesting. But I don't like to think about it too much, because I don't like to dwell on me all that much. So I'm glad it's done. I'm looking forward to seeing it in print. And then of course it'll be, oh, I should have said this, I should have said that, right? Because mm-hmm. more things come up. So yeah, that's my experience so far. I don't like marketing though. So that's going to be the hardest thing, because everybody, I think a lot of people like me don't like to market themselves and put themselves out there the same way. Do you know what I mean? That's the
yes. I think that comes from, some of it can be generational, some of it can be community, some of it can be our own ideas around when people are, some people are like, wow, they're super proud of themselves. And other people say, wow, they're really boasting. Right. Yeah. And I think you look at the generation now, they have no, and then there's the whole flashy thing. And I think I always say to people, like you said it, if you are a singer, if you're a director, or you are in sales, you have yeah. something to bring to the world. I mean, those singers are out there trying to get their first break. Actors are looking for that major role. Like we're out there and we put ourselves out there. We don't realize that we're actually selling ourselves. Cause if you ask half those people, if you like sales, they'll say no. And it'll be like, you sell every single day and you probably sell the most personal commodity that you have. And that's who you are. And then there are the people like, oh, I don't want to sound like a car salesman. Well, what's wrong with car salesmen? Pretty sure you drive one. When you walked onto the grounds where all the cars are, were you hoping no one walked up to you?
Exactly.
Like when you go to IKEA, do you hope no one ever shows up? Because that happens. And you're like, where the heck is a salesperson? Can someone please help me? So it's interesting how we have this duo of thought. But when it comes to what we think is selling ourselves, so you've got this new generation that they're super cool. They're super this. Artists sometimes have that issue. A lot of people, an artist can fall in the category of an author. You make this beautiful creative process, this poem, this book, this painting, this whatever. And then that marketing piece of it, half the time you got to send it to someone else or you're not paying rent. You know what I mean? Like you're eating rice. So I think it's the same thing. It's a claiming. I think it's a claiming. That's what the process of when people write and they're in a book or they've put themselves out there to that. I think it's about also claiming their value, their worth, the deservedness that it takes. You did the rip the Band-Aid off and writing like quick like that. I've done that as well. I've done the write and relook. I've done both sides. I personally think the sit down, write a chapter, put it together, maybe look at it once and then have it go. I think that's kind of the best way to go.
Well, it's done now, right?
Yeah. So, and for people like yourself that struggle with the part of, maybe marketing yourself, I think the fact those are the best kind of people to go into collaborative books mm-hmm. because you're not just selling yourself. You're selling, like I just went into a book for moms in business that are leaders. Well, when I talk about that book and I put that book to market and say, hey, you guys need to get that book, I'm actually selling the information in the book. I'm selling why you should read this book because it's powerful. I'm also selling the other authors that are in the book. And I'm like, these women are amazing and you should hear the story if you are a woman in business or you are a leader in business. So sometimes it makes it easier that way. But I think collaborative books, which are pretty hot right now, is a great place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I tried to write a book once several years ago when I was deep into teaching networking and I did seminars on in-person seminars on networking and teaching people that. And I also taught it actually at Capilano College in the entrepreneurial program there. And it was fun, but I went to try and write a book on it. Like somebody was trying to twist my arm to do that. Yeah. And I didn't follow through because it didn't feel right to me. So, maybe another day, another dollar, whatever.
But, I think that it's really normal and natural. And I think that there's a book, I think like she says, there's a book in everybody. And there was a personal book that I wanted to do. And I found that I just couldn't sit down to do it. And I tell people, so if you're listening out there and you want to do a book or you've got something inside or what have you, and you know, it's daunting. And you know, it's daunting when it sits on the side of your desk 6 months, a year, 2 years. Oh, I wanted to, I used to, I was going to, when those things happen, I look at it the same way as personal training. Now, I love taking care of my health, but I am not a fan of the gym. I'd rather go swimming. I'd rather go walking. I'd rather go blah, blah, blah. Now, right now I'm doing this training and I have to have someone and I have to go do this whole gym thing 3 times a week. I'm not excited. So when I had to, I'm not excited, straight up, not excited. So I have to hire a trainer because I'm not getting myself to the gym. I'll get myself to the pool. I won't get myself to the gym. So I think that's when hiring somebody comes in. And so I remember I had this assistant once, and she was like, I was doing some work with a woman and she used to like take me there each week. And me and this woman, she's like, what are you guys doing? I said, oh, we're collaborating on a project. She's like, what's the project? Well, it had to do with this personal book thing that was going on for both of us. And so I told her and I said, I just can't seem to write it down. And, you know, we're working on this together. And she said, well, if you actually talk and walk and record it, I'll type it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that might be a really good suggestion to you or to someone else. Sometimes if you are just not getting to what you need to do, you can speak it and then have someone else do the words, right?
I actually interviewed a woman on my podcast. Her name's Aurora, which I love. And she teaches people the Speak to Write program. And she's very good at what she does. So that's kind of, not my
thing. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So
that was really cool. Yeah.
Well, there you go. You're going to connect me to her, I'm sure.
I'll share if you like. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So Janice, so you've got a couple of things. We've all talked about how you have become successful in the world of entrepreneurship through focusing on the power of the relationship, right? Your relationships with your podcast. So can you tell people, so you've got this podcast, guess what it's called, people? It's called Relationships Rule. Woo, there's a big steamroller for you. It's Relationships Rule. And people can reach out to you and be part of the show if they kind of, you know, fit that criteria. You help people specifically as a LinkedIn expert dig down into their LinkedIn so that they actually get people to communicate with them and connect with them that really are that avatar that they're solving that problem to. And also, one of the things that I learned was how to market myself through LinkedIn in ways that I never knew possible. I thought because I had my copy right, or I thought it was right, till she got at it. And then you want to talk about trying to push her into a book? Oh my gosh, this woman, I think she was pulling her teeth out when she had to help write my about section, right? I felt like I was like, you know, so trust me, good friends push each other and good friends push you through your nose.
Well, it comes through trust, right? It comes through that trust that you have with the person. And so we trusted you and what's coming out, you know, will be proof of that. But I really love working one-on-one with people to show them how to take what they think they're doing on LinkedIn to the next level, because I see it in three buckets: your profile, your messaging strategies, and your content strategies. And they all work together, but they all work separately too. And it just depends where your focus needs to be. And honestly, I went to a networking event I mentioned to you last week. Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 people reached out after that on LinkedIn. We've connected. I now have conversations with those people booked. And that's how the networking continues, right? Mm-hmm. So as soon as you can get them offline, the better. As far as I'm concerned, but it's all fun. And then one of the things though, I just want to add is that when people start talking, or when I talk to people about the follow-up being snail mail follow-up, they get a real card in the mail. People will say to me, but you can't get people's addresses. How do you get people's mailing addresses? You just ask. You just ask, you make it part of the conversation. You know, you've had 10, 20, a half an hour with them. And by the way, would you mind if I got your mailing address? I love sending cards. That's it, period.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Janice, it's been, and it's quite unique and it's ironic how unique that is and how impactful that is and how you've been able to have a massive business of retention. And isn't that the beautiful thing? Like, wouldn't you guys want to stop having to be focusing on the finding and just nurturing what you have and having more abundance, which gives you more time. And isn't that part of being an entrepreneur, is having more time?
Yeah.
Right. More time. So in wrapping up, first of all, I want you to tell people where to reach out to you. And if they have questions and they want to do all that. So tell people how they reach out to you. And then I have a special question for you to end off our time together today.
Okay. They can find me at janiceporter.com or janice@janiceporter.com. They can always reach out on LinkedIn and make sure they let me know that they heard our conversation on the, on your podcast. And I'm always open to a conversation. And if anyone's interested in looking at how to send cards and gifts easily, then I could do a demo and give them an opportunity to send a free card on me.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's a full package deal. So I know you've been traveling, and I think you're actually traveling right now. So thank you for taking time out to come onto the show.
Yeah.
So you're going to travel. You're going on your way. You're going to a desert island, and that's it. You are no pool boys, but you get a suitcase, and you, in that suitcase, you can take one album. You know how much I love music, and I know that you love music as well. So this is going to be a tough one. You only get to take one album. So what album are you taking that you get to listen to over and over and over again?
Wow. I have two in my head, but both of them are going to show my age. So it really doesn't matter. I'm going to have to say, I can't pick between the two.
I know it's tough. I've been asked this too. So yeah, there's only, if you packed two in your suitcase, there would be no room for,
I'm going to go with Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, because that's my ringtone on my phone.
What's Going On? I actually have that album. I was listening to. Yeah.
Oh my God. So ringtone on my phone.
Oh, wow. Okay. I gotta change the ringtone on my phone. The technology piece. Okay. So you're taking Marvin Gaye. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Look, thank you so much. And I really appreciate you and everything you do. And thanks for pushing me. And I know I push you as well. And like I said, that's what you say, trusted good business and friendships do. Thank you so much, you guys, for being the best podcast. I know that Janice runs a podcast, and she probably thinks her subscribers are the best. I personally think mine are. So you guys are like the best. You share the stories, you send it on, you tell me who you want to see. You're very appreciative. And I know a lot of you have reached out, and we are like working hard to get everybody that we can onto the show. So if you are an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur, or you are creative and you want to make your break on Mission Accepted, we would love for that to happen. And if you are self-funding, just like podcast show, TV host. I mean, gosh, we've got friends that are launching TV shows. Next week in my house is going to be a radio show host and a TV show host from Australia that we met, you know, online. And she's like, I'm in Vancouver. I'm like, oh, looking for a place to stay for a couple of days. She's like, absolutely. I'm like, okay, I guess she's coming in. I got someone from Australia. That's the magic of the world. And so people in media as well, we're really happy to have you on the show and help you share your mission. And that's what it is. You guys, you're out there and you're doing something cool, whatever it is, you know, whether the mission was becoming a parent, becoming a teacher, becoming an entrepreneur, honestly, rock it. Just rock what you do. Love what you do. Be surrounded by incredible people that support you for being you. I appreciate you. And we will see you again next week. Thanks. And we'll see you soon. Bye for now.